Mystery novels and mystery shows are some of my favorites. Especially like the ones that keep me guessing the entire time. The ones that have a really good gotcha at the end. You know, when you're absolutely certain that the wife did it, only to discover at the end it had been the daughter all along. I love a book or a movie that can catch me unaware to the very end. I consider those authors and screenplay writers quite skilled. When that happens in scripture, though, I'm not nearly as pleased. And that sort of catching me up short seems most often to happen with Jesus' parables. They're generally quite short, these mystery stories of Jesus. They're so short that we might assume that we can understand them, even see through them. We'll be going along listening, then suddenly it's like we've been hit on the side of the head with a cast iron frying pan, as we realize we've been caught, trapped by the story. I trust I'm not the only one this has happened to. I'd feel really foolish up here if I were the only person in the room who had heard Jesus' parables and found myself with egg all over my face at the end. You know, how about that one with the workers who'd been there all day? That one still makes me a little uncomfortable. I still find myself thinking things like, why on earth does he get paid to do that? How could he make as much as I do? I work a whole lot harder than him. Or how about that one with the Pharisees and the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple? They both go to the temple to pray. One is a church leader and the other a sinner of the most notorious sort. He even cheats his own people. You can't get much worse than that. So they go to pray and the church leader prays, thank God I am not like that sinner. And there you go. Bam. Frying pan right upside the head. How often have I thought, thank God I'm not like that so-and-so. I gotta tell you, I hate it when that happens. It's quite uncomfortable, but I'm getting used to it. I won't even get into the parable of the prodigal son. The minute I read the very first line of that one, I think, oh, here we go again. I've been both the prodigal and the older brother in that one. I've heard them all so many times now that I just know I'm going to feel bad by the end. That I'm going to be called out by Jesus for something. And it's not that I don't think I should be called out for my shortcomings. I do. But these parables, they get me every time. That's why the parable in our gospel reading today is important. We may need to reframe it a bit from the take that we are accustomed to hearing. But if we listen with new ears and hear it fresh, even though we may have heard it 100 times, I think we'll discover that this parable grabs us differently. Let anyone with ears listen. Once there was a sower, a very generous sower, who was so generous that he spread his seeds all over the place. Some seed landed on rocky soil, some seed was eaten by birds, some was choked by thorns, and some thrived and produced a gazillion times more than one could ever have been able to imagine. There are all sorts of hazards for the seed, but the seed has everything it needs to grow and flourish. The devil may snatch away what is in the heart. The young sprout may wither because it has no depth. The lure of the world, of wealth and worldly cares, may take over. There are all sorts of hazards, but those are not ours to worry about. Think about that for a second. The sower didn't stop sowing because he knew that not all the seeds would produce. The sower just kept on sowing, knowing that those that did produce had the potential to produce an unbelievable yield. The parable says 30 60, or 100-fold. Fivefold would have been considered a good yield at the time, but that's not what our sower claims. It's up to 100-fold. A yield from a small seed of the world is a yield in unheard of abundance. Another piece to consider in this parable is that it's not up to the seed to accomplish anything on its own. The seed has been spread, and it needs to be tended, but the seed has everything in itself to produce that yield beyond expectation. Have you considered the difference on the focus yet? The difference in the focus that changes the way we encounter the parables? If we encounter a parable totally focused on me and what this parable is saying about me, then we might find ourselves face to face with a part of us that we would rather not admit to, a side of us that we would rather not meet. If we encounter the parable wanting to know about the nature of God, we find something very different. Both ways of encountering the parables are important. But my bet is that we're so programmed to encounter Scripture as a self-help of sorts that we forget that the purpose of Scripture is not so much to teach us about us, but to teach us about God. So what do we know about God from these mysterious parables? If we just consider the parables I mentioned a few minutes ago, the parable of the late workers, the parable of the Pharisee and tax collector, and the parable of the prodigal son, we find a God that is generous beyond belief. A God that is forgiving beyond belief. God that gives an abundance beyond belief. If we look at the parables focusing on God and not on ourselves, we find forgiveness and generosity and acceptance and love, not condemning or accusation or damnation. And what about the parable of the sower? The one that makes us worry that we might be snatched up or wither, or that we might be swept away by worldly cares and concerns. The seed has been sown. We are here where there is good soil. Only the sower knows how much we may yield. 30, 60, maybe even 100-fold. Thanks be to God. Amen.